This is Mary Ingleby interviewing Mary Quinlan on the 23rd of August 2013. So, here we go. Who have you seen? So, Mary, maybe we could just start. You introduce yourself to me.
Well, my father was stationed in Rosyth. He worked in dockyards, and he was posted to Gibraltar in 1942. I think about September. I'm not absolutely sure. And so we were left in Scotland until 1946, when we went out on the Monarch of Bermuda. We went out on a boat from Liverpool. And his name was Michael Findlay. I was Mary Findlay, and my sister came, and my mother.
Can we just talk a little bit, just before you tell us that bit about where... Because I always ask this, and it's quite interesting to that we have it on every recording, about your parents and a little bit about your family, where your parents came from.
Oh, my parents are very complicated. my father was very Irish, and his family came from outside Dublin. My mother, though, was part Scots and part Polish. Her father was a refugee in the 1880s. He came over. She was a complicated lady, but during the war, of course, her Polish relatives were all in trouble, and some of them came over with the fall of France. They came over and flew with the RAF. So there were lots of war connections that were... But my father didn't fight in the war because he wanted to go into the RAF, and they wanted him in Gibraltar in the dockyard, and so he was not allowed to join up.
So he was already in Gibraltar, or he went...
No, he was posted to Gibraltar. And what was
his... Sorry, and what was his work?
He worked in the generating station.
And why was that so particularly that they wanted him there?
Well, he was good at working in generating stations, but the thing in Gibraltar was that the boats came in badly damaged, and so what would happen is that they would turn off all their generators on the boats while they were being repaired, and the generating station in Gibraltar would run out electricity to them and cover them while they were in the docks.
Right, I see. So you were... So what? When were you born?
I was born in 1938. So I went to Gibraltar when I was eight. I had my eighth birthday in Gibraltar in January. Yeah.
So let's just talk a little bit about your... what you can remember of Gibraltar when you first went there. So that was 1946?
Yes.
Just after the war?
Yes. Well, I can remember going to Liverpool and going on the Monarch of Bermuda, which was a beautiful ship, a cruise liner, but it was used as a troop ship. And it took us 10 days to get there because there were mines in the channel and things like that. So we wore life jackets most of the time with whistles and lights. And I think had we had to jump over the side, we'd have broken our necks because they were... even now, you can remember how solid they were. But in Gibraltar, we had I think my parents had trouble finding a school. And I went to St. Joseph's, which was near St. Joseph's church. It was in the crypt, I think. I always remember we went downstairs and it was underground, but there was very little that they had there. I don't remember having any books or any exercise books or anything like that. I think it was all very, very difficult.
So it was you and your sister, was it?
Well, my sister was only 3 and a half, so
Oh, right.
She didn't go to school.
So you're the
I
oldest.
Did. But then the convent opened up, I think probably in the September. I wasn't at St. Joseph's very long. And then I went to the convent, Reto.
And do you remember about... I mean, presumably the rest of your family was all in England,
yes,
were they?
Yes.
So do you remember about what your mother felt about... Did she know how long she was going to go there for?
Well, we were going for 3 years, because my father had gone out for 2 years, all the duration, and he went 4 years before us. My mother didn't really like Gibraltar very much. She didn't manage the heat very well. But we were there for 8 years, so... she must have agreed to stay. I don't know. I never remember the discussion, really. But the family were at home, and I think she was quite pleased to escape, actually. We'd been bombed out in Plymouth, and because my father was in the dockyard there. And one night she didn't go to the shelters, and the shelter took a direct hit, and everybody was killed. So she then... took fright, and we went to live with my Irish grandparents in Dorset, and then got posted to Scotland. And I think she just had enough, really. She was quite a nervous lady, and so I think going to Gibraltar was a great relief, and the fact that all the family were at home, I don't think she bothered very much. We came home on holiday in 1948 and then stayed till 53.
So by that time you were just like 50, a teenager, really. 50, yes,
yeah.
Yes. So tell me a little bit more about what you can remember about your childhood there.
Oh, it was lovely. It was great fun. We the dockyard used to provide a lorry to take us to school, and we had to climb into the back of the lorry. But actually, if you missed the lorry and you went up the back way, as it were, to school, you could get there before the lorry. So, and we had a lovely little man in charge of us who used to say, "Don't stand up when the bus is walking," which we always found hilarious, which was a bit pathetic, really. But the dockyard provided transport for everyone to go to school. The convent was fun, but they'd had a bomb up there at some stage, and my father got a team of people from the dockyard and rebuilt a wall for the nuns. Sadly, they were eternally grateful, and that meant that when they put a play on, I had to have a senior part, whereas I'd really rather be in the chorus. I'm not an actress at all, but in thanks to my father, I had to have a lead, which was really annoying. But my mother was very friendly with the nuns, and she knew them all very well indeed. At the junior school, this was, and they were her friends, really.
And so, because she was Catholic anyway,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, my
yeah.
father was Catholic.
Oh, the whole family
the
was.
The whole family were Catholics, yes. Yes.
And do you, I think, did you say this to me on the phone, that you remembered the explosion in the dockyard?
Oh, yes. Yes. We were in class when it went up.
Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, we hadn't gone down to the grammar school yet because it was still being used. And they had a very big room which was partitioned with glass folding doors. And we were in the middle class when it went off, and all the glass fell in on us. It was really quite dramatic. And the teacher, who was a lay teacher, was out of the door first. We all told lies and said that she had, you know, got us all together and sorted it out, but actually she was first out of the door.
That was very loyal of you.
Yes, I don't know why we did it, because we didn't like her very much. But we did tie her in knots a bit. She was our maths teacher at the time, and you could trick her, and then she didn't know where she was. And I think we felt sorry for her, really. But my mother thought that there were two generating stations in Gibraltar. There was the main one in the dockyard, and then there was one in a tunnel, the tunnel that goes through to Sandy Bay. I don't know if you've been through that. My father was working there that week, and my mother thought that that's what had blown up. So she thought she, you know, she was a widow. Yeah.
It must have been terrifying, that, because you knew that...
Yes, but I think, you know, in some ways, as children, I think we were quite excited, really. You know, everyone had got used to bombs during the war, and, you know, it was a week off school.
And do you think everyone did think it was a bomb at the beginning?
I don't know what people thought. I think people who'd been in England thought it was a bomb. What other people thought, I don't know, because Gibraltarians can get really rather excited at times. You know, they're very Spanish, really, and so some of them threw wobblies and...
Was there a lot of praying?
No. What did happen was that the steps up, there was a big staircase. Do you know the convent?
No.
There's a big staircase which goes from the ground floor up to the chapel, and very large paintings all fell down the stairs, which we thought, you know, was, not amusing, but odd.
And exciting.
It was exciting, yes, yes. Yes, and we were all herded out onto the netball court. And then we got a few days off.
And do you remember, you know, your mother, did your mother come and collect you, or what happened?
Do you know, I don't remember. I was always very independent, so I probably walked home, because she would be looking after my sister, who was much smaller. But a great friend of ours, who was called Jimmy Shepherd, he was the doctor in the dockyard, and he went on board the ship and got, I think, the Military Cross for it.
Yes.
Does that ring
so.
A bell?
Yes.
Mm. Yes, he was our doctor, and he went on board when they thought that there was going to be a second explosion. Yes, so we thought very highly of him. Yes. But it was extraordinary that shrapnel, as we called it, went right over the rock, you know, to...
And we heard accounts of parts of the ship being blown right over.
Right over the rock.
Right over the rock. I mean, it is incredible, isn't it?
Extraordinary explosion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Over to Catalan Bay.
And then people had to go on board to take off the rest of the ammunition and make it safe.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. There were some very brave people around that day. Yes. And Jimmy Shepherd was very... I think he was a commander.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
So what other things can you remember about... We were talking before we turned the tape on about exactly where you lived. You seem to have a very good recall of...
Well, we lived in Cumberland Buildings, which have just recently been rebuilt and absolutely awful, outside the one of the main dockyard entrances near Rosier Bay. And I thought it was really quite a nice flat, actually. We were on the top floor and we had a nice roof and things like that. And Nick Guyne... not Nick Guyne, I'm sorry.
Dudley.
Tim Guyne.
Tim.
Lived across the patio in a house at the end. The wall of the patio up to them was badly damaged at some stage, I'm not sure what by. And so we had Italian prisoners of war rebuilding it, and they used to sing all the Neapolitan street songs there, which was absolutely lovely. And they liked children, so that was good fun, and they were very nice and very safe. We were always allowed to go and talk to them and play with them all. Sort of thing. No, nobody was particularly worried about it. But where they lived, I've no idea. Isn't that odd? You don't think things through when you're a child. They arrived in the morning, they went home in the evening.
They must have had some, yes. They
must have been in a barracks.
Yeah,
some
barracks, I was going
they?
To say.
Yes.
Yes, yes, absolutely. There are probably quite a lot of barracks around then.
Oh, yes.
As well. So,
yes,
yeah.
Somewhere
lot,
at,
yeah.
Is it Kemp Bay?
Well, yes.
Yes, it could have been.
Yes.
Because there were both Italian and German POWs on the rock at that stage, weren't there?
Yes. But we only had the Italians. Gave me my love of Italian music, yes. It's
well,
such a romantic
sort of
sound to it.
It's Roger Vivre thing,
yes,
isn't it?
And they all
well.
Seem to be able to sing, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Just a point on that. One had the impression that POWs, German or Italian, would be closely guarded. But the
Italians
were getting
didn't
probably
seem
not.
To be. They didn't seem to be in... As I don't didn't come across German ones, but the Italians, I suppose there was somebody with them, but it wasn't very obvious, and they all chatted to everybody. And
was this after the war?
Yes.
Or, yes. So
yes.
Weren't they waiting to go home by
yeah.
then?
Mm.
Yes. But so they still yes.
yes.
So
but I would have thought somebody was in charge of them, but you know, escorting them back to their barracks
yeah.
or something. But you know,
and they were doing
never really
even
thought
as
of that.
POWs do fairly heavy. Manual work of building sites.
Yes, they were building building part of the wall, yes. Yes, Tim Guy might know about that because he, you know, he looked out on it as well.
Okay.
Though I think he's younger than I am. I met up with him last year for the first time in a long time. Yes.
And who else? Wasn't there somebody else? Wasn't there a judge or something that lived along there?
Yes, I don't remember his name. And he lived the third house up. There were, I think, four houses up there.
So are we talking about there were sort of four houses and then opposite was flats, an apartment
well,
building?
Well, they were on a slope going and there were steps up like that. And then there was a wall down like this and a patio and then flats. And they've rebuilt them in a similar way, but many, many more flats than
a huge building on the right.
No,
yeah,
yes.
I think do you know Keith Farrell?
No.
Who lives, because he and his wife Elizabeth still live at Rosier Parade.
Oh, yes.
There's about four beautiful houses that
oh,
are left
ones.
There. No, not
Rosier
there.
Cottages.
Not there, actually. I know those ones as well. No, they were a bit... Actually, I think they were actually even closer in. It's just you can hardly see them. They've got great big gates, and then they're slightly back from the road,
oh, right.
with shutters and things.
Uh-huh.
Rosier Parade, I think it was called. Anyway, so that's
and
was
and
yes.
you used to swim in Rosier.
Yes, every
yes.
day.
Describe how what Rosier was like then.
Well, it was very, very nice because it had two clubs, and they were very much. Your father's rank. So there was the officers club, which was near the entrance to the bay, and then there was our club, which was by the beach, and that was they were both they did mix, not very often, but they did. And you learnt to swim there. They had a bar and changing rooms and steps down. The beach was pretty awful. It was only a little beach, but ships kept throwing off their oil, and every now and then you found a dead pig or something like that on the beach, which we thought was exciting. But no, it was good. And what we used to do was to take our homework down there. We had a raft in the middle of the bay, and we used to take our homework out and sit on the raft and do our homework, because we worked from 8 till 1 in the summer at school. And that was rather good, but there was a great challenge that you didn't drop your homework in there as you swam back.
So you'd swim out, holding it up. How fantastic.
And then come back swimming. Yes.
That's the way to do your homework.
Yes, it was lovely. I don't think we worked very hard, really. But we swam virtually all the time, Christmas and every time. And we used to swim out to the entrance to the bay and back. The current's quite strong outside the bay, so on the whole we weren't allowed out there. But my father used to fish out there.
Were there lifeguards or anything?
Not really, no.
No, so you were pretty free.
Oh, yes, yes. And we roamed the barracks on the top that was empty. We used to slide through the gate there, which was chained. But we used to have a great time. I think we were really a bit wild. I don't think my mother had any idea. I don't think she had any idea. She used to sit in embroidered tablecloths.
And was it a mixture? I mean, were the children at the convent a mixture of Gibraltarians and British?
They were fantastic. I always, I'm always telling my children and my grandchildren that it was a wonderful way to be brought up, because if you went to school there, you didn't matter who you were, what colour you were, or what your religion was, that you just went there. And for assembly in the morning, some people didn't go to assembly and some people didn't go to mass, but on the whole everybody got on very well, and it was a very big mixture.
Talk
a lot of Jewish girls.
Tell me a bit about the mixture.
I went back to Jib 2 years ago and discovered that one of my friends is obviously Afro-Caribbean mixture, but it hadn't dawned on me before. There were Jewish girls there. All the British girls went there if it was the 11 plus. Before that, it was
school certificate or something.
No, there were two schools if you were going to pay. There was the convent up till 11, which I went to, and then there was Brimpton down the road where some other people went. So sometimes English girls went to Brimpton as well. My mother didn't approve of Brimpton because the poster outside said Mr. whatever, I can't remember his name now, Esquire, and she said if he couldn't get it right on the notice outside his door, she wasn't sending her children there. But then she was like that. But at the convent, we had a lot of Gibraltarians. We had one or two girls came in Rolls Royces from Spain, which was quite exciting. Most of the Gibraltarian girls went there. You know, all the names that you get are all there.
And did you find when you were mucking about with your friends, being naughty, sliding down things and all the rest of it, were you always speaking in English?
Well, usually, yes. And we weren't allowed to speak Spanish at school. So what we used to do was we would speak Spanish in the playground, and then a nun would appear and we'd speak English. So I'm sure you've seen in Gibraltar everybody speaks the two languages in the same sentence. So really we just used whichever language we had that word for, which was a bit strange, really. But they still do it, I notice.
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely fascinating, which language you've got the right word for.
Yes, if you hadn't got the right word, you used it in your own, the other language, yeah.
So presumably you never actively learned Spanish, or taught
Spanish.
We had
Spanish lessons.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Which was a bit odd, really. Yes.
Right, yes. That is interesting. But then you picked up a huge amount as well.
Yes.
Mm. And did you have a maid or anything like that?
My mother had a cleaning lady, yes, and who did the laundry and everything else, yes.
And was she...
She came in from La Linea, and she lived in a sort of shack attached to a wall in La Linea, which was really rather dreadful. And she was ill at one point, and my mother took her to the doctor and paid for her because, she had to go to a Gibraltarian doctor. And I think she was menopausal, looking back. Yes.
And what about your parents? I mean, let's talk a little bit about your father now, because he was in the dockyard, so presumably he mixed a lot with... he was also in this multicultural sort of society.
Yes, I don't think he ever learnt Spanish, though. He was pretty hopeless. And he never learnt to swim, which I thought was very odd. He was there for 12 years and he never swam, but he fished a lot. Yeah. But he had, I think he had quite a good war, but he didn't talk about it a lot. When they took the electricity out from the generating station to the boats, he had to paddle through an awful lot of unpleasantness on the boats and people parts and all sorts of things, and he just never talked about it.
Where was this?
In Gibraltar.
So what was this? Was this people
These
coming in from the convoys
in,
and that
yes,
sort of thing?
Yes, so they all came in and had to be repaired so they could get back to England. And there were dry docks there. And I think he had quite a difficult war in that sense, but he had a lot of freedom, and he lived in this Newmarle house, which was a hostel, really, for men. And he had great fun with Bernard Devlin, who was the curate at the cathedral, the Catholic cathedral. And they used to go over to Spain and bring back all sorts of things. That's one of the reasons I think they probably were involved with Carlotta's Wheelers. He talked about them, and it annoys me so much that we never asked him enough questions.
Well, just tell me what you do know.
Well, just that he said that on Sunday afternoons, people would cycle over to La Linea, and they would bring back people who were escaping, and they would cycle back with them, and then other people would walk back drunk, as it were, and everybody would let them through because, oh, the British are drunk again, you know, and take no notice, really.
So they were just pretending?
Yeah. A lot, well, I expect some of them were drunk, yeah. But there were, some of them were pretending. And Bernard Devlin was a bit of a rogue. He told me he was a rogue. But he used to smuggle alcohol back, and he and Dad used to come back in a taxi sometimes with all sorts of bottles up the Reverend's legs. And my father used to get out and talk to the police in his lovely Spanish. But Bernard spoke good Spanish, and he would say, yes, I've got a bottle of this up this leg and a bottle up there. And they'd laugh at him, wave their hands in the air and let them through.
And just one point is, the escaping British or Allied PO, servicemen, they would be held up at Spanish brothels or...?
Well, that was the story, that they were passed from brothel to brothel down in, through Spain, and that was how they got them.
That was their escape
route. That was their route. Again, you know, you need to check. This is all, you know, sort of gossip that I had, and he didn't talk very much about it. I don't know why. And we didn't ask questions.
What you don't know why it was called Carlotta's Wheels?
Well, I think the Wheelers were the bicycles, but why they were Carlotta's, I don't know. Maybe the brothel was called Carlotta's.
I was just about to say that.
I was just
wondering.
Yes.
Carlotta sounds quite exotic.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this must have been organised by some officials on the Rock.
Absolutely. Yes.
No idea.
No idea at all. Isn't this, it's so annoying.
It is, and it's so often the case. I mean, you know, I think one of the things I was, when I was talking to some quite elderly people who were up in Mount Averna, which is the old people's home, above the Rock Hotel, and somebody told me that the Rock Hotel was full of British pretending to be spies as a sort of decoy. I don't know if this is true.
Oh, right.
That the real spies were in amongst the, you know, actually working on the ground, you know, working as traders or whatever, both sides of the border. But, you know, it was just like this idea of these spies in this hotel, which wasn't really true.
Don't know.
No.
And was Bernard Devlin involved in that with your family?
I've no idea. No. Last time I saw him, he's died now. He became the bishop in Gibraltar.
Yes.
So
yep.
There are lots of connections. The Gajeros know him very well, knew him very well. But he the last time I saw him, I was staying at the Rock Hotel and he came to tea. And he said to me, I've had a very eventful life. I'll tell you about it sometime.
Do you think anybody ever interviewed him? Probably not.
No, he was very well known, though. You might find...
his name has come up a couple of times.
Yes. John Gajero fell out with his brother Joe. And I know Joe was a great friend of his, but Joe died last year, I think. What he used to do, he told me, was that he used to sit and have coffee in Main Street and people would come and talk to him. He said, so they don't have to go to confession. And he sorted out a lot of things. He was very well known in Spain. And when there was a bishop's conference in Spain, they would always consult him as to whether he could manage the date. which was interesting.
Because what was really interesting around that time was how good the relationships were with Spain. Mm. I mean, it was a one-to-one relationship, so there'll be certain officials that were, say, on the German side and others very pro-British, because Dudley Gowing, Tim's father, as Commissioner of Police,
yes,
had excellent relations with his opposite numbers, and presumably Bernard Devlin had similar type of contacts.
He seemed to. He was a curate when we in 42, but, you know, went on to be bishop in the end.
It's a very interesting position, because he was, he sounds like he was an Irish originally.
Oh, he's very Irish, yes.
And also, obviously, all the Gibraltarians being so Catholic, so he probably was party to an awful lot of information, which
possibly
he wasn't allowed to say, but, you know, he was an interesting position.
Yes.
There is something about him that I know, and I can't think what it is. Somebody's told me a story about him, I'm sure. Yeah, really interesting.
He used to drive my father mad at times because he had a motorbike and he didn't look after it very well. And in fact, it blew up with him almost on it. And my father repaired it for him on our dining room table and started it off on the dining room table. And my mother went completely mad. Yes, we remember that quite well.
Yes.
But he had an accident, whether it was to do with the motorbike or not, I can't remember. And he was in the hospital in Gibraltar, and we were all went to visit him. And one of the nurses said to me, "Oh, this is very boring for you. Why don't you come and look at my operating theatre?" And I can remember at the age of 9 saying to her, "I think I'll work in the operating theatre when I leave school," and I did. But it was just fascinating, all these instruments and things.
Was that then at St Bernard's Hospital?
Yes. But the operating theatre was a room, and it... everybody walked in and out in their shoes, you know, and the cupboards just had instruments there, and you sort of picked up what you wanted. It was so, so prehistoric.
Was it still in the same place as it is now?
I think so, yes. It was a very stupid place, because in fact you can't, if the car's parked there, you can't get the ambulance up the road, so quite difficult. We had a military hospital out near Europa.
Yeah.